Hey, it's Janae. Welcome back to Of Bipolar and Black Identity. And today I want to talk about what it means to be Black and what pressure is put on you based upon your Blackness. I think that this kind of discussion can't happen without first acknowledging that the concept of what Black people are and what that entails is heavily based in white supremacy and in respectability politics. It's saying that Black people are this one way, and that's bad and savage and whatever, which has its the word savage or has its own connotations. Like, you can't decide for some other culture what is classy or not classy, and the whole idea of classiness is just fuck. It's fucked. But this idea that the way that Black people are, which, you know, the common stereotypes is that they're loud and ghetto and they don't know how to act right and all of our problems are our own and we just don't want better for ourselves and we're just really low class or what have you, which completely ignores the systematic oppression and slavery that has led us to be fiscally behind white counterparts and just really... there's so much in place, especially if you live in America, which I do. So when I'm talking, I'm speaking from my U.S. centric perspective, not to be, you know, dismissive of everybody else's perspective, but it's because it's the only one that I know. In the U.S., like, you know, we were slaves for like 400 years and then we got free. And then, like, some people went on to still be enslaved for even longer after that, or they were sharecroppers and they weren't getting the cut that they deserved. And freaking white people got paid when their slaves were set free. Black people didn't get shit for being set free, except for being, it was like being thrown out of the house with nothing. You had nothing. You had to make something out of nothing. So there was a leg up. There's been a generational leg up that white people have had over Black people for as long as they've been colonizing America. Like, you know? And so then it's like, why do you have nothing now? Well, my family has never had anything. What do you mean? And your family has had everything, probably lost some of it and gained some of it back. Some of y'all never lost anything and y'all are just living high. And it's easy to tell people that they should just pull up their bootstraps when you've never had to be down. And the whole pull up your bootstraps saying actually came from the, it's ironic how it's used today, because it's supposed to be representative of something that is impossible to do. You're not supposed to be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So when people are saying it, we are actually misusing the saying, and saying that people should be able to do something that in the saying was invented to say, this is not something you should be able to do. And it's silly in and of itself, even outside of that, because we live in a society. Societies are supposed to be about community. It is supposed to be a place that helps each other. So this the fact that we have created this individualistic society in which it's every man for himself and you're only responsible for you and fuck everybody else, this very narcissistic society is troubling and it doesn't do anything to further us. But I'm getting off on a tangent, because here today we're talking specifically about being Black. Okay, so to start off with, let's speak about respectability politics. What are respectability politics? They are when a person tells you that if you acted this way, did these things, and basically assimilated into white society in this manner, you would be successful and you would have the things that you want. And the reason that certain Black people don't have things is because they are not doing that. They are not doing what they're supposed to do to live in this society. The problem with this is that you shouldn't have to change cultures. When people immigrate into America, a lot of times they try not to teach their kids their first language. They try to make sure that they only know English. They do all these things to try and assimilate into this culture so that they are not so that they can be discriminated against less. The idea that you shouldn't be able to be who you are in any light is sad. And the fact that we're supposed to be a melting pot. America's supposed to be a melting pot. And yet we are taught that this is the only culture, and it's supposed to be American culture, but it's not American culture. It's just American culture as white people see it. When you're black people live, you know, we were stolen. We live here now and we've had our culture for years, and we're taught that even our culture is wrong within American society or whatever. And it's just, you have to jump all these hoops. You have to wear your hair a certain way, straight, and da 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 da. Your eyes need to be light blue or green or whatever. And you need to do all of these things to feed into this society. And then when you do all of these things, they're going to tell you that it's inauthentic or what have you, because that's not how you are. And it just, there's no winning truly. Like, they say that if you feed into all these goals, you're going to win. But like, you can go to an Ivy League school and you can do whatever it is that people tell you to do. And at the end of the day, if somebody wants to call the police on you for being in one of the study rooms in your Ivy League school, they're gonna do it. Like, because you look the way that you look, and because of that, they have these certain assumptions about you. And it doesn't matter if they know you, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. All that matters is that you make them uncomfortable, and they're not used to having to be uncomfortable. And then within, even when you feed into respectability politics, you're then told you're not black enough. And maybe you're not even feeding into respectability politics. Say this is just how you are. Maybe you speak a certain way. Maybe you use less AAVE than whatever the average black person is. I put that in quotations because what's average? But you live a certain way. Maybe you don't listen to rap music. Maybe you only listen to old school jazz. Maybe you only listen to EDM, what have you. There's so many different types of music, and black people were probably at the beginning of most, if not all of them. But and however, somehow in this life we have gone so far and people have taken so much of our music that now black people are allocated to just like R&B and rap, and that's it. And if you don't listen to those things, then you're not black enough or whatever. And you always feel like an outcast in these situations because you've been told that this is what blackness is and this is what black should be. And if you're not doing these things, then you're not black enough and you're not doing black right. And you start to feel hated and slighted because black people are going to tell you this. White people are going to tell it to you too, but black people are going to tell it to you, and we roast hard. So maybe you're going to end up having more white friends because they're going to share more interests with you and stuff like that. So then you feel like maybe you don't like black people as much, da 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 da. And there are so many awkward, weird, nerdy black kids who have had to outgrow the feeling of being inadequate in their blackness, or like there was something wrong with them, and outgrow a lot of self-hate. Black people in America have to outgrow self-hate anyways, like just being around. If you're going to be quote-unquote woke, which of course we all know is an overused phrase, but if you're going to be like that, you have to outgrow a lot of self-hate. And to be different, having been different and black, you're like, but they hated me too. And you want to be mad, you want to be bitter, but you can't be. You have to know that the black people that slighted you when you were younger were mad. They were upset. They had been taught that they had to be this one way, and they were mad at you because you weren't prescribing to that one way. You were not assimilating, and if you are not assimilating in a society, that there is backlash. That is just that's how societies work. Like, it's not always the best, but like cohesiveness is what societies seek. And that's not to say that those who, are alternative or what have you are actually not assimilating. Sometimes those are the hardest assimilators. Those are the people that think that there's something wrong with other black people and they're doing it right because they're prescribing the most to whiteness. I don't want to ever make it seem as though This whole point, the whole point of this episode is that there is no one way to be black. And I want to make that very clear, that you can be from the hood and you can be a little ghetto. And if you're loud, you're loud. If you have strong opinions, there's nothing wrong with having strong opinions and being loud. You're taught that there is something wrong with it, and that's how black people are. There are many quiet black people who are very meek and do not have a bunch of strong opinions. I am not one of them. I am loud and I have a lot of strong opinions. But that's because of who I am as a person. That is nothing to do with me being black. And I've not been perceived as like a ghetto person or anything like that. Not to say that there's anything wrong with that. And I say ghetto once again, because I don't even like the thought of considering a person to be ghetto, because this is how this person is. This person is just a person. But I've never been perceived that way by other people, but I'm still loud. And I still have strong opinions. I still speak my mind. And those two things have nothing to do with each other. And I think that whole stereotype is a way to try and silence people. It's just like how black women are always told that they're loud and aggressive and whatnot, to try and silence them so that they'll put up with more, so that they'll put up with less than what they deserve, because they won't speak up because they're worried about the way that they're perceived. The concept, the stereotype that black people are loud and aggressive as a whole is just a tool to silence us from speaking up when things happen that we do not deserve. It's used as a tool of abuse. Simple as that. And it's used to pit black people against one another, because if you can look at one black person outside and be like, oh, I'm not like those black people, look at me, I'm doing better, I'm being better, I'm trying harder, like, then you get a pat on the back from white people, and it just reinforces this idea that there's a way to do it, and the problem with black people is that they just don't know the right way, and whiteness is the right way. Now, what I want to get into now is the rise by millennials and Gen Z, is the rise of queer spaces and like nerdy spaces that are centered around black people, black queer spaces and black nerd spaces. And not to equate the two, but I'm saying that these are groups that did not have as much of a voice before, but are currently getting more rise of shine and some time to like, you know, create space for themselves and to really be represented. Like Instagram and social media has really given them a platform in which to be seen, and when you see something more, it becomes normalized to you and people don't think it's so weird anymore. And I think that's an amazing thing, because these are groups of black people that didn't have anybody to look up to, because this was not what was represented. It was seen as odd, it was seen as out of character, and it's really a great thing now that we're seeing more of it, because that's normalizing this behavior and giving way to the idea that there are options. Where and when people feel like they have options, they feel freer to do what they want to do. And while I won't speak on black queer spaces because I do not know enough to speak about, I will speak for black nerd spaces and saying the one con that I see to this is that black nerd spaces perpetuate the same shit in which they were trying to get away from. If you are not black and nerdy in the right type of way, if you are not nerdy enough, nerd culture in general is the same. It's the same system that they claim to dislike. It's like when black men oppress black women, it mimics white supremacy over black people. It's that same nature. Like, y'all hated that people didn't accept you and that you were an outcast, da 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 da. But in nerd communities, black nerd communities and just nerd community in general, people do this thing where they force you to have to prove yourself to them. And it shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't be accepting of people. It's supposed to be an accepting thing to be a nerd, to be like, oh, we're different and we do different things. But instead it's this like pissing contest where you have to prove that you're good enough and that you're nerdy enough, or if you're goth or whatever kind of alternative thing that you're doing that's not common or whatever, you're always having to prove that you know enough about it and are cool enough to hang. And I hate that even these new communities that are being created in order to give voice to these groups, these marginalized people, are still perpetuating the same the same issues that the larger groups, the mainstream groups, have perpetuated before them. The whole point should be to start something new that's better and more inclusive. And when we leave people out or make people feel like the way that they exist isn't sufficient, you're only reenacting the same systems that you felt held you back. There's no progress to that. There's nothing good about that. It only breeds negativity, and it's really a shame to see that happening. And I have seen it happen. Once again, I can only speak for like Black nerd groups, which I've been a part of, but not queer spaces, because I have not been. But I do know that I've seen people arguing that certain things are not queer enough, or like, you know, like even within like LGBT things, like if you're asexual, you're not really a part of the LGBT community or what have you, things like that. When people feel different and marginalized and like not accepted, especially, I feel like asexuals should be included, because in this hypersexual society, having like no attachments to sex at all is very, especially because some asexual people are sex repulsed, and sex is literally everywhere in our society. But that's, once again, a whole different thing. It's just really a shame that we can't recognize these patterns so that we can move outside of them and really create space for everyone to feel safe and included and to heal and feel better, and to really acknowledge that no matter how you're existing in this world, your experiences are valid. And at the end of the day, it is okay to be an outcast and be nerdy or weird or have like aesthetic that not everybody understands, and to be Black, or to be Black and queer, or to be Black and fit into every stereotype about Black people that anybody has ever named, because it is okay to exist as a Black person, whatever that means. No one is out here telling white people that there's only one way that they can be. They are allowed to live freely and with all the opportunity to explore who they are. And at the end of the day, I only want Black people to be able to do the same, to be able to explore who they are and really feel comfortable doing that and experiencing that and learning more about yourself, because as people, that's what we should be doing. Y'all have a nice day.